Now, get myself together. For the order my steps, I'm going to go over an important theme that's come up this week, and it should be a theme that comes up in all of our lives, which is faith. In fact, there is a verse in the Bible that tells us to examine ourselves to make sure we are in the faith. Everybody say the faith. The important part of that is there is so many types of faith thrown around out there, but there's only one true faith that we as Christians are to be in. There's only one real faith we can be in. Unfortunately, we've allowed so many different kinds to come up in our lives. We have distorted faith, and we don't realize if we're living in faith or not. As the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You have to have faith in order to do it. Turn your bulletins over. You notice it says up top, it's up to us to test ourselves. The Bible gives us a lot of times where we're supposed to check and examine. And it says in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 5, examine yourselves. So that's a command, something that we are required to do. He says to see whether you are in the faith. So this isn't one of those confidence things in which I just say I am because I believe I am. He's saying check to make sure you are. And he goes on to say, test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. Now, he doesn't go any deeper into that because the Bible does that for us. Because some people look at that and go, well, what is this test? Well, the test of faith, of understanding if I'm in the faith, is established in the rest of the Bible. We're going to do a little bit of it today. And this, hopefully, it'll give us a good foundation of what being in the faith means and if I'm in it or not. First of all, what is faith? Now, the broad definition that faith that the Bible gives us, and this is the overall definition where it says in Hebrews 11, 1 to 2, it says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. Now, in reference to God, and that's what's going to be an important part of it, that means that's our faith in God, okay? We are sure of our hope in him, okay? Jesus returning, we're positive it's going to happen, all right? Our faith is in everything that this word says, positive about it. When we read the word, we are 100% sure. That's faith. Nobody had to give me proof. Nobody had to give me any signs or anything like that. It goes from what his word says, and that's it. That's the information I need. So sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Certain. In other words, we haven't seen God. Okay? We haven't seen in the flesh Jesus. Okay? But we still believe and we're sure and certain of it. We're certain of his preaching, certain of his word, certain of everything about it. That's faith. Okay, when you take this word and I don't have to prove it to you, it's not based on science and proof. It's fully based on faith. Now, we must stay in the faith because some will leave it. Okay, recognize some will leave it. We don't teach this nowadays. You know, nowadays we kind of teach once you're in it, there's no way you can get out of it. Okay, and that's dangerous because you have a lot of people that say a few words, say they're Christian, think they're going to heaven. Danger in that, that's not what the word teaches, and that's what becomes dangerous. Look what it says in 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. It says, the Spirit clearly says, in later times, some will abandon the faith. Do y'all see that? In later times, we are in later times. Anytime the Bible says later times or end times, it's talking about now. We are deep in that. No doubt about it. It says, some will abandon the faith. And we see it come in different forms. Either we go into another form of what we call faith. Either we just leave it all you know, all along and just go back to our regular fleshly life and do what we want to do. It says, but what will they do? They'll follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Simply put, if you can't find it in the Bible, it's not taught by God. And demons will give us whatever it takes to get us away from God. That's why I have to stay in the faith. Very important. Because he'll use logic, he'll use emotion, he'll use the intellect, he'll use culture, he'll use all of these things to make me, I never thought of that. Think about it. As Christians, how many of you read stuff in the Bible and something made you go, I don't know if I agree with that, or somebody gave you some other idea that's outside the Bible and it made you think about it. Okay? That's the dangerous part. Because you're now considering something else. You're considering leaving the faith, believe it or not. And it's a common trait that happens today. So who do we have faith in? So we saw what the title or the definition of faith is, and that's being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. But the faith has to be in something, okay? And our faith, as we see, is in God and in Jesus, who is God. But you distinguish between the two when they're shown as separate. Mark 11, verse 22 says, "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. Okay, a lot of times we have faith, but it's not in God. Sometimes we have faith in what we want God to do. That's not faith in God. Sometimes we have faith in what we desire to happen. That's not faith in God. Sometimes we have faith in an outcome. That's not faith in God. Do y'all see this? Okay, faith in God is 100% in Him. Same thing with Christ, and I'll explain this a little more later. In Jesus, Galatians 2, verse 16 says, "Know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ." Jesus, in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law, because by observing the law, no one will be justified. Anytime the Bible talks about observing the law, it means I'm trying to do it myself. Okay? It means I'm trying to become righteous on my own. So when somebody just says righteousness and following the law, they're trying to do it on their own, and he's saying you can't do it. We've all fallen short. In fact, we're going to hear that when we do the Christmas message. But the understanding of we go out there and try to be righteous. You have, and those even before they're born have failed. Do you understand that? He already let us know all fall short of the glory of God. So we were doomed. So faith is relying completely on Him. Do you understand that? Okay, relying completely on Him. Having a close relationship with Christ. So my faith has to be in Christ. Has to be in Christ. Faith is making God the sole purpose of life. Sole purpose. Now watch this. Romans 4:4-5 says, "Now when a man works, his wages are not credited to him as a gift." Okay, what that means is he did something to get paid for it. That's what he was doing. His purpose for doing it was to get paid for it. So it's not a gift. It's not, you know, they owe him that. You know what I mean? If I say it costs $5 for me to fix this, then after I fix it, I get $5. That's right. So that's what you're supposed to get. Okay? So it's not, that's just plain old works. But he goes on to say, "But as an obligation, however, to the man who does not work but trusts God, who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteous." Now this is what he's saying. Okay, using that same $5 one, let's say that I have to do something for $100, but there's no way I can do that or earn that or make that $100. Okay, that $100 will be credited to me, even though I didn't do anything to earn it. There's nothing we could do to truly gain true righteousness. So God said, when his son came down here for us, it's for us to trust in what he did in our place. Do y'all get this? Okay? We basically took his credit, and that's why it's credited to us. It's like I'm giving you a credit card, and on that credit card you have $10,000. Did you earn that $10,000? Absolutely not. Some of us think we did, but no, you didn't. Okay? You just got it. Now you can go out and spend it as much as you want. The difference on this credit card is we don't have to pay it back. You'll see the difference. This is one of those free credit cards, and that's Christ. Christ died and gave us this credit card that he paid. So he already paid for it on us. Okay? So it goes on and saying, but the man who, like we said in verse 5, however, the man who does not work but trusts God. So the key to faith is a trust in God. Now, where we mess up with it is we add our own. We trust God based on us. Now, I want you to catch this, because this is where faith becomes fuzzy to some people. So I'm going to give you two scenarios. So if I say, you know what, I want it to be sunny and warm like summertime tomorrow, and I trust God for him to do that. Now, can God do that? Yes or no? Absolutely. All right, that's faith. Will God do that? Well, Pastor, we don't know. And I'm glad y'all kind of looking like, well, I can't answer that. You know what I mean? You know, maybe not. Now, if he does or if he doesn't, has nothing to do with faith. It only would if he said, that's what I'm going to do. If he said clearly, Keith, you say whatever you want right now, nothing else, touch that from his word, then all I have to say is I want it to be sunny and nice tomorrow, and it should be based on faith. Because I'm trusting in what he said, not in what I want. We turn faith into more of what I want instead of what he said. Do y'all see this? This is why people struggle with faith, because we go and we pray for things, and then we say, okay, now it's going to happen. Not necessarily. It can happen, and praise God that you went to him, okay? But it doesn't say it's definitely going to happen. In fact, faith is ready to receive his yeses as well as his no's. Do you understand that? In other words, you're looking forward to him saying, yes, I'll do it, or no. And in both cases, you're like, amen. That's faith. Do y'all get this? I'm putting my trust in him. My trust means I want you to say no when it's wrong, and I want you to say yes when it's right, because I trust in him, not in what I want. That's a, hopefully you get that. Let's look at an example of trusting in him and how that whole concept works. Abraham is that example. Romans 4, 18 through 25. It says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations. Just as it has been said, so shall your offsprings be. Without weaknesses in his faith. And you notice this now, without weaknesses in his faith, because faith is a walk. All right, and it's not saying that he didn't have moments where he felt a certain way. It's saying he didn't show it in his walk. It's saying without weaknesses in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead, yet he did not waver through unbelief. Basically, it was like, okay, you're about to have this baby, I promise. He's like, okay. And he went, and then everything was all set to have it. He didn't go, wait a minute, God, you know how old I am? There's no way my wife's going to carry a baby, and what are you trying to do? He didn't do it. He just went for it, went after it. This is he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. Do y'all see? That's what makes the faith so strong. Now, if he just said to himself, I'm going to have a baby when I'm 100, and called that faith, that's not faith. That's maybe a hope. I don't know why you would call that a hope, but that's maybe a hope that he had, and he went to God for it as a request. And then you rely on God to say yes or no. That's how faith works. It's not me saying he's going to do what I want. Do y'all get this? Everybody grabbing this? Okay. So it goes on to say, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. Remember, it's not only what God said, it's based on God. It says, this is why it was credited to him as righteousness. Even Abraham only got credit, because all have fallen short. Every man that is called righteous, it was credited to him as righteous. Please understand that. Okay, there was no true, just plain out righteous person that walked the earth other than Jesus Christ. Okay, everybody else, we got credited to us because of our belief and faith in Christ. It says the words it was credited to him were written not for him alone, but also for us to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. So it's kind of giving us a full-fledged understanding of how faith works in our lives. Okay, it's dependent on him. So I got to check and see what he says and what his promises are, and do it fully based on him. Now, faith is something that all Christians must continue in. It's not something that you get and it doesn't go away. Okay? It's not a tattoo, something that you keep it and then you wear it, later you're like, oh, how did I get this? How can I get rid of it? It's one of those things that you have to stay in. Think of it as a building that you choose to go in, stay in, or leave. But it's your choice. Faith is still there, but you have to choose to be in it. It says in Colossians 1, 21 through 23, it says, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. So he said, like, well, just one time, without Christ, we were depending on ourselves, and because of us, it kept us distant from God. We really had no access to God. Okay? And it goes on to say, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusations. Once again, what Christ did for us, he did it in my place. What should have happened to my physical body, being destroyed and that's it and I'm doomed, happened to Christ in my place. Okay? And it goes on. It says, if, everybody say if, you continue in your faith, established and affirmed, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. So let's see that again, because 22 is saying you'll only benefit from it if. Read it again, 22. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusations if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Now he's making it very clear, if faith is a decision you make every day. This is why we say you walk by faith, not by sight. We live by faith, not by sight. It's a choice. When you wake up, you're going to choose. Am I going to do this based on what I've seen, how I feel, what they say, or am I going to do it 100% based on God? God allows different events to happen to us, and they affect us in different ways, but we all should make the same decision in those decisions based on faith. Do y'all get this? All right? When I look at other people's lives by sight, I'm like, why does this person have this life and that's more comfortable, and this person has a more uncomfortable life, and the person's more in the middle, and God, why did you do it? When you look at it through faith, he's saying, I don't care where I put you, you should be fine. Because you're walking based on me. Did y'all understand this? It's not what you have down here, it's that we have him. We went over the seven churches in Bible study, and that's what, if you notice, God was the one who put those churches in the areas they were in. God gave them the circumstances they were surrounded by, but it had to be their faith that kept them where they should be. No matter your situation, no matter your circumstances, you have faith to keep you. May it be very comfortable or uncomfortable. That's why Paul said, I can be content in any and every situation. He said, I've learned the secret. I can do all things through him. That's faith. Do you understand that? You'll stop going, I hope this and this don't happen, and this person leaves me alone, and I don't have to go here tomorrow, and I don't. See, one thing we do, and we do it with our kids, the minute our kids are uncomfortable, we'll move them to another school, move them to another room, move them to another area. We try to make the setting comfortable for them, don't we? Does God do that for us? No. God makes us comfortable in any situation, even in uncomfortable situations, if we stay in him. Y'all get this? Okay, that's faith. Faith is trusting and truly believing in him. Being in faith is what we allow to be our protection. It's what we allow to be our protection. 1 Peter 5:8-9 says, be, everybody say be. Once again, it's another choice. Two things, self-controlled and alert. Okay, and it's funny because this is part of that protection of how faith works, but it's something I have to be. Self-controlled and alert is all based on me. Self-controlled is me controlling self. And alert is keeping an eye on what's going on. Watch out what's happening. What's trying to affect self. You understand that? See, a lot of us end up snapping out because we weren't aware, you know what, this may be a tough situation I'm getting ready to go into. You know what I mean? We go in with our guards down. Have you ever done that? You go into a situation thinking, which should work out this way, and then when it doesn't, we explode or we act some way that's not like Christ said we should act. Why? Because we went in there not alert. We went in there thinking things should turn out a certain way, and it doesn't always work out that way. That's why he tells you to be self-controlled and alert. You go into a situation going, somebody may say or do something to push one of my fleshly buttons, so I better make sure I'm spiritual and don't allow that button to trigger me. Y'all see how that works? In any case, whatever it may be, you go into it with that idea of, I am prepared, my spiritual guard is always up. So he goes and says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Now, we like the picture, or we think the picture of him just going away and just attacking things and, you know, blowing up buildings and blowing up people. That's what we look at Satan. No, Satan, this picture of Satan is more true. He's watching. Who can I attack? Do you understand that? And the ones he's looking for are those whose guards are down, who are not self-controlled, and alert. What I mean by that, we kind of live our life in comfort, live our lives in happiness, live our lives based on sight. My guard is down. I told you that you use the animals, and you watch the animals in the animal kingdom or wherever, and the young ones feel safe around their parents, but when the lions will lay there for days, just watching them. They'll lay down like they're not doing anything, and they're waiting for the babies to go, well, nothing's happening, and then they say, but I think the grass is greener over there. And they leave the protection of their parents to go eat. And the lion's like, oh, here we go. You understand? Satan's doing the same thing. He's like, oh, wait, Keith got a little comfortable. He's not reading his word as much. He's not praying as much. He's not fellowshipping. He's not really growing in me. In fact, he's depending on self. He left and started eating other grass. He gets up and he starts prowling and checking me out, and then he attacks. But he tells us this is what we're supposed to do. It says, resist him. How? Standing firm. Everybody say firm. In the faith, standing firm in the faith. In my form of counseling, when people come and they talk to me, a lot of times the problem they struggle with is when they try to mix other things with what the Bible says. You understand that? I'm dealing with the situation in my relationship. I want them to blah, blah, blah. And I know the Bible says this, but I want them to blah, blah. So in other words, they had all this other garbage, and it is garbage, and you have to treat it as garbage. They want to mix in with what God said. And Satan loves that other garbage. That's the way you let him in. Do you understand that? Faith is what Jesus did. It is written. Do y'all get this? It is written. I'm doing exactly what it says. What God says concerning the situation, that's how I'm going to handle it. It is written. I'm not going to add to it. I'm not going to take away from it. Do you understand that? It is written. That's standing firm in the faith. And I'm being very clear with you. At times, it's going to seem, everybody say seem. Seem comes from sight. It's going to seem like it's not working. It's going to seem like it's not the right thing to do. It's going to seem like I have better ideas, right? That's why you have to stand firm in the faith. No matter how it seems, by faith, I know. Because remember, faith is sure and certain. But that's only if I stay in the faith. Hopefully I'm giving this clear. Hopefully this is clear to you. It says, resist him. How? Standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. He's saying, this is the protection I have given you. Satan cannot do it unless you allow him. By putting your spiritual guard down and walking by anything else other than faith. Beginning of the year, we're going to go over a study which is showing you those main things that are really attacking us that we allow. How we become not alert and how we allow this to go down. But just keep this in mind. Standing firm in the faith. Standing firm in the faith. So where does faith come from? Faith comes from the Bible and training in the Bible. Okay? The two major things that you need is going to be church and your study. Now, your study comes in different forms, with groups, with other people and stuff like that. But church, and it's a requirement of the church. This is why when somebody asks, I'll say go to a Bible teaching church. In fact, all churches should be Bible teaching. Should be. Okay? That's not always the case. It says, reading and hearing the word results in faith. Romans 10, verse 17 says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. That's there purposely. Because it was he who set up the church. So you do need to hear the message. But that message you hear has to come from a certain source. And the message is heard through the word of Christ. Significant. Very important that both of these come together. So it's saying you do have to hear a message. So that's a person, if a person's saying, I'm just going to read the Bible on my own, you're already setting yourself up. But when you go to church, you're going to hear a message. But like the Bereans, you got to make sure that message is from the word. Does that make sense? I heard a message not too long ago in which the person, after I heard the message, it was inspiring, it sounded good, felt good, dead wrong. Only reason why I know it was dead wrong because I started looking in the Bible. You understand? I'm like, some of these concepts that they were using sounds good, very bad. They were extremely dangerous. However, if somebody else heard it, they would be like, I'm going to buy that book. This is outstanding. I'm going to use it and apply it to my life. But it's not in the Bible. In fact, this is dead against a lot of the points in the Bible. Do you understand this? In other words, it would have taught me if I wasn't clear to lead the Bible because I just like these ideas. And a lot of us have the same thing. You have some book or something in your life that you go by and it really works for you. By sight, you see it. By feeling, you know it. but it's against God. So you're actually outside. And he's letting you know that faith comes from hearing the word and making sure the word comes from God. So if you don't have that, you're not getting faith. And you're not getting faith, you'll leave faith. Do y'all see the danger? This is why this is so important. If he can get you to, oh, it's snowing outside, I'm not going. Oh, I got to do something else. Oh, I don't have to. Do you understand? We look into ways of getting away from hearing and receiving the word, even though it's for your protection, for your edification. It's for you. It's not for him. It's for you. It goes on to say one of the church's responsibilities is to build the body in faith. And this is why, now I do have, I know we put the electronics, and if you ever asked the board, one of the reasons why I kind of struggled before I put it on the website live was because I didn't want to hinder us coming in with the body. This is necessary. In other words, that should be when I have no other choice, I can't go anywhere else, because we ought to be very careful that I can get caught up in just listening to that and separating from the body, but that plays as a part to this. Look what it says here. It says in Ephesians 4:11, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. Now watch this. To prepare God's people for works of service so that the body, did y'all catch that? The body, okay, of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith. So look at this. This is the body, we all, and unity. Now, if I'm way across town and you're here and another part of the body's over there, you're not healing together. You're not growing together. You're not learning together. Do y'all get this? This is very important for us as a body, and not just FSG. We got to do with others part of the body, because FSG is not the body. We're part of the body of Christ, right? And we got to make sure we're doing that. So when it goes into that to show us that, he says unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. So unity in faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. So we're going to grow in faith together, okay? Grow in faith together. I need you to grow with me in faith. If not, you're going to establish your own faith. I'm going to establish my own faith. When we get together, I'm going to hit you with my faith and confuse you. You're going to hit me with your faith and confuse me. We're going to be going everywhere. The body is out of control. However, when we grow in unity of faith, it allows me to go, man, I heard that sermon today, and I got this out of it. And you may go, no, I'm not sure. Then we sit down and we talk about it. Y'all see how this works? The conversation works as the body heals and grows in the word, and you question. You say, Pastor, I don't know if this meant this or where did this come from. And as we grow, we come in unity. Ah, we got the answer. Next thing. Y'all see how this works? Okay, the process goes together. It says, in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. So we're all on the same page. And become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Well, people don't realize that last part, and I probably should underline that too. The whole measure of the fullness of Christ. See, Christ was the only one that got the complete spirit. How many of you knew that? Okay. He's the only one that got complete access to the entire Holy Spirit. The rest of us get a portion. Okay? Why? Because we make up the body. And there's only one body. Do y'all understand that? So there's certain things I cannot do. And that's purposely done. There's stuff I am responsible for relying on you in Christ. You are responsible for relying on me in Christ. Anybody going it alone have already set themselves up. Y'all get it? Okay. That's why it's called. That's why when he says attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So when I ask you the question, do we all have access to the full access of the Holy Spirit? The answer is yes. But as an individual, I do not. I am part of a body that I have to connect with. This is how faith works. This is how faith will be shown for me connecting with one another in faith based on God. Do y'all get this? Everybody understand? Okay. Praise God. All right. So we see we need this. And then the way you know if you have this type of faith is to watch your life. And that's going to be our biggest examination will be through how we live. That's going to be our biggest examination. Look what it says in James 2. And James 2 breaks it down very nicely for us, because a lot of times in churches today have disabled the facts of works. They're so scared of doing works. They almost ignore this. Okay. Well, this is actually an example or proof that you have faith. It's going to be in how you live. When he goes in James 2:14-26, what good is it, my brothers, if a man claims, everybody say claims. And that's the problem today. I claim I'm a Christian. I claim I love God. I claim I have faith, right? Claiming is meaning. He said, what good is it if you claim it? But he says, but has no deeds. What he's saying is, now, even though we don't need proof in faith, there should be proof of our faith. Did y'all catch that? Even though I don't need proof in faith, in other words, for me to have faith, you don't give me proof for it to be faith. I trust in God. If God says it, I'm doing it. However, for you to know if I truly have faith, there has to be proof that I'm showing to you and to myself. Keith, do you have faith? It's going to be shown in my deeds. It says, can such a faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister without clothes and daily food, if one of you say to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm, well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. I can say I have faith in God and do nothing out the Bible. I don't have faith, is what he's saying. Do you understand? That examining and testing yourself, you look at your life. What was the reason you made the decision you made? Was it based on the word or was it based on something else? If it's based on the something else, no faith. You see how that works? Okay, and it's going to make you start examining everything in your life. When you go to work and you're going to hit situations, are you dealing with it the way you see best, or are you searching the word on how to deal with it? Remember, he says, anything done without faith is sin. Anything. Do y'all get this? I don't care if it turns out right. I don't care if it looks good. Anything done without faith is sin. He goes on to say, it says, but someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. He's basically saying, show me your faith by doing nothing. Prove that you have faith. How do you know you have faith? He says, I'm going to show you my faith based on how I live. Y'all get this? So in other words, he's not working to have faith. He's working through his faith. His faith is being shown by how he lives. Continuing on, it says, you believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Okay, the believing is much deeper. When you hear the word believe in the Bible, we must believe, you know, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that all who believe, we think believing just means believe. Agnostics believe. Agnostics believe there is a higher power. Have you heard people use this new, I mean, it's been around forever, but now people have that, and I think they feel justified in saying, I'm an agnostic. It's the intelligent way of basically saying I'm an atheist. Okay, and it's still dangerous because agnostics and atheists are headed to hell all in the same place. And that's a dangerous place to be. But he says, demons believe that and shudder. He says, you foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Watch this. Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? Now, let me be very clear. Let's say he just said, I'm going to prove to God I have faith and just said, I'm going to go sacrifice my son. Is that faith? No. Okay? And the reason why it's not faith is because God didn't say for him to do it. Do you understand? See, people do this. You ever heard somebody say, I took a step out on faith? Now, you did something you chose to do, and you did it on faith, not necessarily on God. Be careful of that. Some people do some very crazy things, and when they work out, then they give the story of, it's because I stepped out on faith. Please be careful on those stories, because it'll make other people, and the majority who do it, when it doesn't work, go, what did I do different? Instead of that first person going, that was not faith. I might have had faith mixed in there in the things that I did, but he didn't specifically tell me, Keith, go out there and do nothing. Or Keith, go out there and leave your job. Keith, go. He didn't tell me to do it. I chose to do that, hoping. Do y'all see this? Okay, and in a lot of cases, it's not faith because I'm doing stuff that he didn't tell me to do. Even if it works out. Remember that sight. I see some confused faces. Maybe we'll talk about this more, but keep this in mind. All right. It says, was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith is what his faith was made complete by what he did. Do you have faith? You'll do what God says. That's how it works. God says it. I'm doing it. See, a lot of us will read love your enemies, and we love that, until a situation comes up and an enemy attacks and blah, blah, blah. Now, let me watch. How did you react? Well, I made sure I got my revenge. I took this at him and that. And as you're walking away going, I love him. That's how people react. They'll claim it, but their actions show it otherwise. Remember, Jesus says, if you love me, you'll do what I command. He's saying, if you really love me, the evidence is I'm going to watch you, and you're going to do exactly what I tell you to do. There'll be no doubt about it. However, you just saying you love me is meaningless to me. It's dependent on you showing it. That's why it's an action. It's saying faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does, not by faith alone. Are we getting this? Okay, not by faith. So if you say you have faith, it's going to go. Let me read this and I'll go through the steps. Not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Just using Rahab, because some may say, well, what did God tell Rahab to do? It's because of God. Remember, she didn't know God. She knew of God. So God became her purpose for her decision making. When she allowed these spies in, because the Israelites represented God, for her to say, remember, for her doing this, in her country, that would have been torture and death, knowing that she went against her country and allowed spies and saved them the way she did. But she showed fear in God. That's what made hers faith. Do y'all understand that? It was based on God. Then as she grew in, we're hoping, and we didn't hear any more stories about her, that she started listening to God. A person gets saved based on God, and then they grow in God. And that's why it ends where it says, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. If I say I have faith, if my life shows otherwise, I don't have faith. I failed the test. That's my test for me. That's your test for you. Do y'all understand this? Simple test. Every day you come home, look at your entire day. This is what I did. This is what happened. This is how I dealt with it. Was it faith? If the answer is no, don't cry and get upset and be, are you still living yet? Then you got another day to do it again and do it right. Do you understand? You don't go hide under the cover. That's not faith either. You understand that? You go, okay, I messed up. I got to get it right. Amen? I got to walk by faith. Stop doing it by sight. Yesterday, the way I reacted to that person, the way I dealt with that in the car, the way I dealt with my work, was that based on God? Or was that how I saw best? But, you know, God didn't understand how this person talks to me. However, by faith, he told me to do this. That's what I'm going to do. Walk by faith. Stop allowing our senses to dictate your life and truly pass that test. Amen? All right. As the word says, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Let's talk to God. The one thing about faith, using that as an example, faith is a very complex topic in the Bible. It's not as simple as we make it. And so it's something you need to really understand and grasp, or else what will happen is people will water it down. So pray to God for clarity and understanding on these things. For those of you who want to write your prayers down, it should be a blank piece of paper on the table. Feel free to write your prayer on that. Put it in the basket. Excuse me, in the usher's table. And we'll pray over at the end. For those of you who would like somebody to pray with you, make sure you see me after service. I'll be more than glad to pray with you. As we should always do as an example to our children and along with our children, is pray continually. Amen? Prayer and meditation. You're the air I breathe, the song I sing. Oh, my Lord, you are everything. You are everything.
See?
everything. You're all in all. Amen. Make sure we're looking to Him for everything. That's faith in Him.